Blog Talk Radio.
Let's do it. Oh yeah. Empowerment Hour, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's African American empowerment. We're doing that. We're going to talk about reconciliation again, but we're going to talk about how to become the one, and also strategies for helping our community to build. It's Tuesday. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Come on, Luther. Better love. Y'all know what comes next. Uh-huh. There is no better love than for self and kind. You best believe that. There is no greater love than for self and kind. You got to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, who can you love? That's impossible to do. If you can't love yourself, who can you love? You have to love yourself. And from an African-American experience and perspective, we have to learn to love ourselves. That's the reconciliation piece. That's bringing it all back together. Yeah, we've been marginalized. We've been mistreated. But now we got education on our side. All we have to do is educate ourselves. Advocate and educate. Advocate and educate. Advocate and educate. Are you ready to be an advocate for change in your community? All I'm asking you to do is share the show with one of your friends and family members. There are plenty of friends and family members to go around, and we got to get all of us on the same page so we can reconcile our issues. The reconciliation is so important because we got to come together, right? We got to do that thing, that one thing of resolving those differences that we have. Now, we're not going to get it all done, but the whole thing is coming into an agreement about how we're going to move forward together. That means we're going to have to compromise on some things, come to an understanding, and then find peace. Not only peace with each other, but peace within ourselves, right, where we can get on one accord, right, and we can start that harmony together, the harmonizing that we need to bring everything back together, right? That's what we need. We got to find that balance, right, in America. See, I'm not talking about anywhere else. I'm talking about that balance in America. And I had a conversation with a friend. We talked about the culture that we're in. We've been influenced by the culture. But that does not mean that we can't identify with who we are. And the first thing is you have to learn to love yourself. You got to do it. Self-love is the most important love. And as we continue to move forward, let's continue to find that love within ourselves, for ourselves. Now it's time for the tenets of the NAAEA. It's the National African American Empowerment Association. And that association put in place to empower African Americans, right, to work on ourselves, to become better in five critical areas. Politics, that's the P. I'm spelling peace. Politics, you got to have a political agenda. You have to have a political agenda. You need to go out and involve yourselves in this political structure. I'm going to tell you why. Until we're in a position to simply just leave, that's economically, because you just can't go without no money. Then you have to have a place to go, and you have to have some structure there. And if you don't know to understand how to understand the value of politics in the political arena, then guess what? I don't think you could go very far. This is me, just one man. You have to understand how to operate a political system, right? And the only way you're going to do is practice, right? So get out there, participate in your community on a local, state, and national or federal level. You have to. Economics, you need economic agenda. You do. You got to learn how to manage money. Money management, because you got to have money in the land of milk and honey. And I think that's one of our real deficit points is we don't have no paper. No greenbacks, no jacks. We need money. We do. And you are going to have to, one, get your paper up, and then, two, put an agenda in place where that resource that you have, you understand it, know how to use it, know how to invest it, and know how to create generational wealth for the next generation that's coming through. A, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You have to have an athletic agenda that focuses on your health and wellness, your well-being, managing your temple, taking care of your body, working out, right? Not like lifting weights, 10,000 pounds of weights, but you're going to have a self-care plan mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You just do. You're going to have a self-care plan that regulates how much food and junk you put in your body and then how you're going to keep your body and your mind trained and fit and ready to go. We need you for the long haul. We really do. And you can't be there for the long haul if you don't take care of the temple. You got to take care of your body and your mind. Again, it's mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual development, right? That's what we need. We have to develop. You got to take care of yourself. That's all I'm saying. The question is, how many of your friends and families are on medications? Go ahead, start asking. Start polling. Hey, you on medication? Why you ask me that? Yeah, I'm on high blood pressure, blah, 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 blah. Going on down the line, we have to change our dietary habits and get into a place where we can take care of our physical being. I know it's hard, but you just do, really. All right. Seize culture, relevant cultural programs to guide and direct us, right? Of course, we're in somebody else's culture. We are. Right, we're Americans, true, but people who come from other cultures are not necessarily American in culture. They just live here. So we had to redefine ourselves to give us a culture that fits us, that supports us, that gives us boundaries and guidelines and how we will conduct ourselves and how we will love on and treat each other and how we will navigate this system. The culture can do that. Right? Many, many cultures and many religions mesh culture and religion to get those people together so they can all have a unified position, unified stance. We're all doing it together. And again, we'll all have to do it, but we all got to be African Americans together at some point. I'm not saying we got to go to church house together. I'm not saying we got to go to the mosque or the temple together, but we do have to have a collective agenda that supports our existence, period. E is education, a comprehensive education that teaches, trains, develops our young people and our parents to be better parents, for example, right? And grandparents to be better grandparents, for example. Developing our children and giving them what they need, all the tools that they need to be successful and compete. Why can't our children go out there with head up, chin up, ready to go, ready to compete? When they walk across the door line, we ready. Right, and even if don't nobody give them opportunity, they're ready to create opportunity for themselves. What in the world is wrong with that? Absolutely nothing, Marvin Rome. Absolutely nothing. We need a comprehensive education. That's the agenda that we need, right, for advocacy, right, advocating for ourselves on levels locally, on a state level, and on a national and federal level. We have to advocate for ourselves for the reconciliation. We got to bring it through. We have to bring it to. We must bring our development and our next level of advancement together. We got to do that. Isn't that right, Stan? Stan Macklin.
Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Farming Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
That's true. We need institutions that define our own reality. We do. We have to define ourselves. We have to redefine ourselves. We got to get to work on working on ourselves to have a collective mindset and a collective agenda. We don't have to all do the same things. We're not necessarily individuals in that regard, but we must love, guide, teach, protect, and direct ourselves.
But we must unify.
Tell them, Stan.
Let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens.
Got that right.
Make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
That's what Stan said. We're not going to forget it. We have to be able to stop trying to get in and fit in and be who we are, our natural, beautiful selves. I'm bringing Brother George in for the Willie Lynch moment. Brother George, come on.
Sir.
Bring it.
Welcome, brother. Uh-huh. How you doing, Brother George?
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
I'm doing fine, brother. Thank you for allowing me to share your space, and thank you for you being you. You know, I really appreciate that. And today, the Kwanzaa principle is going to be Imani, which is faith, to believe with all our heart in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. And I think that's vitally important. You know, all of the Kwanzaa principles are vitally important. And we need to, like, put those into effect every single day. It's focused on our Kwanzaa principles from our brother, Malana Karanga.
I like that.
And today, I'm going to be reading a passage out of a book called Recapturing the African Mind by Dr. Bruce Bridges, who's a close friend of mine, you know. And as a matter of fact, when I was going through this book again, I realized that I borrowed his phrase, collective consciousness, because that's where I was first exposed to that term. And I still think it's a great term that our people should really focus on, that collective, you know, thought process, you know, being on the same page. But the quote is, the African mind was born, rooted, and developed in the natural world. This growth and development of the African mind preceded both the organized religions of Christianity and Islam. It was highly spiritual and led to an advanced society and cultures which are still awe-inspiring today. However, this mental growth was disrupted when African minds were destroyed and replaced by the minds of European colonizers and enslavers. According to John Henry Clark, who was a distinguished professor of African world history in the Department of Africana and Puerto Rican Studies at Hunter College in New York City, and author or editor of more than 30 books, the greatest conquest of Europeans in the 15th century was not the territory, but was the conquest of the human mind. While the cultures and economies of people of color worldwide have been arrested by the exploitative actions of Europeans, this book was focused on the unfolding of events resulting in Africans losing their minds and the consequences of mind destruction on continental and diasporan Africans. I thought that's very relevant to what we're dealing with today, because a lot of our people don't understand that we lost our minds, that we don't think the way that we used to think. We don't think our morals and our ethics are not the same as what we really deep down inside feel comfortable with. It's things that as black people we feel comfortable with, and we used to do all those things on the continent. But since we got here, we have this selfish European mentality, and we begin to act sometimes just as selfish as they do. And that's why many of us were easily convinced to hate who we were, to hate the way that we look, because we was dealing with things on an individual basis. When I look in the mirror, I look good, but somebody else black look in the mirror, they ugly, you know. And we bought into a lot of that stuff, you know, with the Willie Lynch process that they put on us. And today, we're going to have to begin to, you know, reevaluate how we think, you know, as individuals and as a group of people towards each other, because we got to come together. You know, Brother Booker dwells on this every single week, which I'm, you know, I applaud him for doing that. But we, as a people, we got to come together. So, Brother, I thank you once again for you being you and for allowing me to do these segments. And it's back to you, Brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Before you go, you touched on a lot of great points, but give us one tip on how we can reevaluate how we think before you go.
Well, I think that the first thing we have to do is we have to start reaching our youngest children, because the way that you think can be embedded into your child's mind by giving them rational thought processes. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that deep, but like exposing our people to loving their hair, to loving their eyes, to loving the way that we look, understanding the beauty of being able to produce melanin and produce color in your skin. You know, giving our children definitions of things that the school system never gave. I once asked some adults that were working with me on my job when I was working at the post office, what is melanin? And so they really didn't know. And I said, wait a minute, let me get this straight. You produce the most melanin out of all human beings, but you don't have a scientific definition for what melanin is. You don't know what it does. You don't know all the deep concepts about it, that it was once called the secret elixir. And that's what gave us the ability to differently than other peoples on this planet. And, you know, are in, you know, books that are written on the topic of melanin. And our children are not exposed to that. We have to expose our children to who we are and love it and start loving it. So is there any other...
That's it. Thank you, brother. I think you said it all. Thank you, Brother George. Appreciate you.
You're welcome, bro.
Great job.
Peace.
I told y'all. Peace. The brother comes through with the knowledge. He does. He got the juice. I just threw the question out there. He laid it down. We got to reach our children. Your job is to prepare your children and yourself for the future, for later on today and tomorrow, and however far you going. That's your job. You're going to have to understand the tools for building. Those tools are self-love, respect. That means self-respect too. Understanding the social systems that you live in. Understanding the individuals in your family, how important individual and family and community is, and living in peace with each other. That's what we got to do. We got to develop each other. We got to develop that power and that strength that we are not at the bottom anymore. We're not bottom dwellers and bottom feeders. Like Brother George said, we have the greatest gift of all, other than being God's children, is we have melanin in our skin, and we got what they say, black blood. It's a great thing to have. You better start advocating for educating your children. And you better have a social justice agenda that allows you to have the courage to stand up for yourself. I'm going to go to the lines. I'm going on over to 9282. Brother, are you ready? I'm bringing you in right now. Ooh, I like it, Mom. Hey, Mama. Come on.
Bring it. What?
Uh-huh. 9282. We ain't going nowhere. Nah,
yes,
what
sir,
you got?
Brother.
Hey, brother, how
yes,
you doing?
Sir, my brother. I'm fine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Yes, sir. Well, peace be unto you, brother.
May peace be unto you as well, my brother. And keep doing. The brother just gave you a good referral. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, sir, we all have to. We all have to. And I'm going to piggyback on a little bit on what Brother George just said. You know, I've told people in the past, us, you know, every black person in this country should be able to get a handicap sticker and put on our cars, because we all are mentally ill, because we have lost our minds. You know what I'm saying? as a people,
like
we
that.
Have lost our minds. So we should be able
well,
to get us
admit
a
that.
Handicap sticker. No, sir. Give us a handicap sticker to put on our car. Look, I'm going to go back again to what I said last week because it's
go right
so
ahead.
Important. When you talk about the characteristics and the qualities of the one, the first one, be honest. The one is honest with himself or herself, okay? You
mm-hmm.
have to be honest with yourself. And until we, the one, until we do that, we can't go teach our children because we're going to be passing on falsehoods. I'm going to be nice and say falsehoods, okay? We're going to be passing on lies.
What? You being nice?
Yes, sir. If, I'm being
all right,
nice. Being
all right
nice.
Now.
Okay.
All right.
And,
keep going, keep going, keep going.
And when you look at, like, for example, when we look at, if we're honest with ourselves, okay, if we say we are children of God, God is our Father. He's our Creator. You know, He's given us the greatest gift He can give us, which is life. And the greatest asset of that life is our minds, okay?
That's true.
So
I like that.
Understanding that and then using our minds, thinking logically, okay? Thinking logically and understanding the greatest gift of all is life. You cannot tell me that God would say to a sister or a brother, as far as that goes, that If you conceive a child in the act of what we do to conceive children, but you don't want to have that child with that nigga or that bitch,
well,
then
it's gonna be nice.
Then why would you lay down and have the child if your answer to having that child is to abort that child? If we're being honest with ourselves, and I'm being honest with myself, there's no way you can tell me that's godly. You're taking a gift from God away because you laid with a nigga or a bitch that you didn't like, but for whatever reason you laid anyway because she looked good or he looked good or
come
whatever.
Here,
I don't want to marry that nigga, and I don't want to have
here,
a baby
here,
by the nigga. So I'm going to abort this child. I'm going to take this life away. You can't tell me that that's the right action and it's a godly action and it's something, like I said before, yes, I agree with the woman's right to choose and the man's right to choose, but we make the choice when we hook up and agree that we're going to do this thing. That's the choice. But you don't undo that choice by aborting the life that's created that night when you made that decision to do that. There is nothing godly in my mind that I can see about that. And we as a people, going back to what Brother George said, in our minds, being out of our minds, if we thought that way when we were first forced to come over here as slaves, hell, most of us would have been aborted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't have projects. You wouldn't have single parents. Single father, you don't have single baby mamas and baby daddies. They would have been. I wouldn't be here probably. My mama had me at 17.
Hmm.
You know, and my father, I probably would have been aborted if that's how we thought as a people when we came over here. That's a learned action and a behavior, and we must be honest with ourselves. That's why I say we have to be honest with ourselves, get ourselves together before we go teaching our children. Because if not, we pass on bullshit.
Mm.
We pass on deadly information that's destructive to us as a people. And we've got to, again, be honest with ourselves. Like the brother said last week, keep it real. We got to keep it real. If, now I'm using that word if God is our Father, our Creator, He gave us the greatest gift of all with the gift of life. You can't tell me that then aborting a child in the womb is in line with God, or a woman of God would even contemplate making that decision. However, a woman with God would not lay with a man that she wouldn't want to have that child with or be
mm-hmm.
his queen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that means you got actions, you know, you got if A, then B. If A happens, B going to happen. If we lay down, B going to happen. That's the scientific way of looking at it. That's a scientific expression, you know, if A, then B.
Mm-hmm.
So if we control A, then we can control B. We can control A. We can control that lying down and doing that act to produce that child. So it won't be a B that we don't want by controlling A. But when you agree to A, love the B. Because you know the B coming out. We have to be honest with ourselves as a people and say, yes, that is not. How can we justify that? You see what I'm saying? That's my humble opinion, okay? As I'm looking at it and being honest with myself, if God is our Father, He's given us the greatest gift of all, which is the gift of life, how can we, in our right minds, justify an action to destroy that gift before it even have a chance to come into existence because we didn't like the nigga that implanted the gift in us?
He should have never been with him.
I'm trying, brother. Like the brother said last week, we got to keep it real. You know what I mean? Keep it real. All right? And then the next thing I'm looking at, and I know you're going to cut me off, and when you come back, I'm going to talk to you about we need to take the power away from money.
All right.
Okay.
We're going to see what you got on that one. I'll be right back to you in just a minute, brother.
Yes, sir, brother.
Woo. Okay. Let me see what I can do with that one. I think the issue is, thank you for sharing, brother, is that when he's talking about laying down with somebody, that's a mature act, right? That's a mature act. And see, the culture that we were raised in, I want you to think about this very clearly now. The culture that we raised in, which is a European culture, does not speak to mature relationships in the way in which we understand them. Let me break it down. When, like the brother said, when A get with B to produce C, that's a spiritual connection. It's not just effing, the alphabet that's got that in the F now, right? It's not that. It's a mature connection that brings about the next generation, the next individual. It's a connection out of love, right? But you got to understand the training and the conditioning in this society that brings us to just simply sex. And for us, the sex was just to procreate so they could have another slave. That's in us. That is in us. That is in us. That is in us. Oh, it's in us. All we want to do is just get off. I'm sorry. But that's all we want to do on both sides. Right? So when you laying down with somebody that you love and that love you, you're going to bring out the best in the world because both of those people love themselves. And ain't nothing wrong with good, solid black love. I like it. I'm going to 0946. 0946, you on the pipeline. Let's see what you got. Come on, sister. Bring it. I don't know what happened. I'm going to try that again. Come on, sister. Sometimes things happen like that. All right. It's in 5 an hour.
Bring it. What?
Come on. I like this part. I see you, mama. It's mama bobbing her head. 0946, what you got?
I don't have anything today. I'm just listening.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. And if you would pass the show on to somebody else, I think we got some great points today, right? How are we going to reevaluate the way we think? But you keep listening. Have a great day, and thank you for joining the show.
Mm-hmm.
I like her. I really do. Thanks, sister. You know what? I like one thing. As the sister said, y'all ready for this? She said, I'm listening. She said, I'm listening. I am listening. How many of us can say, I am listening? See, sometimes all of us, all we want to do is talk. This is a talk show. Don't get me wrong. It's the people's show. You decide whether you want to talk or listen. Your point of view is valuable. Your perspective is valuable. If you want to talk to Marvin, 845 877-925-0 is the number. If you don't, you can keep listening. But I encourage you, I implore that you share this show with somebody. You might not like everything that's said, but somewhere down in there is a nugget of truth that if you open it up and critically think about some of the things that are said, I think some good things can come out of it. In fact, I know it can. I just know it can. We're going to have to do the work of working on ourselves, and we're going to have to do it in several ways. We're going to have a unique, unified consciousness.
Well, I think we fail to see how good and precious life can be.
That's what the brother said.
We operate so much in doom and gloom and negativity.
Uh-huh.
Causes us to tune out the big picture. When we're able to see how good, precious that life can be, it gives you a willingness to strive into the future. It gives you the foundational tenets to lay down for the next generation to build into their future.
So true.
But if we're always walking in doom and gloom and negativity and trying to get in, to fit into somebody else's reality, that's not it. No, no, no. We are unique. Just like there's nobody on the face of this earth that has fingerprints like you, because you are unique. And when we have that unified consciousness, man, the sky's not even the limit for us.
True.
It's not. The brother said it right. We can literally create our state of heaven, and we have to walk in that. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to strive to see and even pray how good and precious life can be. And that gives you the opportunity to literally perpetuate happiness and joy and peace and prosperity, because things are being sustained in a sustainable way. So we got work
that
to do.
That is so true. Nothing. We got work to do. That is nothing. Nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. You got to love yourself. Said that before. And then you're going to have some tools. The brother is talking about the one. I like it. Talking about your rights to produce the next generation properly. But there's some tools that we need. How about a good dose of resilience, right? In this society, in this culture, as a person of color, the way the system is established, you got to be resilient. You just do. So these are tools. You have to have drive. You have to have personal inventory, right, of yourself, and then you have to have drive. You got to want to do something. You got to want to commit to being successful at getting change. You got to be reliable. But the first thing you have to do is learn how to rely on yourself, self-sufficiency and self-efficiency. The next thing is you got to have some patience with yourself and each other. A lot of times we're short-tempered, right? We really are. So let's think about resilience, drive, self-reliability, and patience. How patient can we be with our children, with the next generation, and with ourselves? Because we sure need it. We really do. We need that. And then the last one in this segment is courage. Do you have the courage to change? I mean, to really change, right? To change yourself for the better. Become the best person that you can be. To do those things that you know you need to do to make a difference in your family, in the lives of the people that you come in contact with. You are so important. You are. See, I'm talking about advocacy for African Americans. We got gay rights, we got women's rights, we got civil rights, but who is really talking about, like the brother said, we need a handicap sticker because we're all messed up, and we don't want to acknowledge that. Now, some people are like, I'm all right, you are, good. But there are lots of us in this system who are suffering mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, right? And again, those things can help us. Politics can help us. Health, wellness, and fitness can help us. Of course, economics can help us. Education can help us. Culture can help us. We need to have a national tool for advocacy for ourselves that we return to our rightful state, like Stan said. That's original, kings and queens. Ain't nothing wrong with that. All I'm trying to do is just do the best I can to share and have people who are willing to come on and share their thoughts and opinions. That's all. There's no more we could do other than now get out and make a difference wherever you are. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong. Right? We've been resilient since we got here. That just to be sitting here on this radio show right now is resilience. It's the drive to continue to push after so many obstacles and challenges and changes continue to come our way. And we have to do a great job of reflexing to prepare for the future. We do. It's not over. You got to prepare for this 21st century economy. And learn where the money going to come from. You got to figure it out. That means you got to have some critical thinking. I'm going back to 9282, coming back around to you in just a minute. I don't like being long-winded, but it needs to be said. It really do. 9282, what you got? Oh, yeah. I like that. 9282.
Yes, sir.
Back to you, brother.
Yes, sir. At a point I made, we must take the power away from money. Okay? And by that I mean, look, again, I'm going to go back to where I go back to God. If, again, God is our Father, our Creator, we are taught that our Father, Almighty God, Allah, created the heavens and the earth, heavens and earth and the universe, okay? Our Father gave us everything we need to live in our universe. Water to drink, air to breathe, etc. Food, nourishment. Our Father, God, provided these things, okay? Then I'm asking myself, and it rains all the time. The sun, the heat from the sun evaporates the water from the ocean, and as a process of draining the salt from it, makes clouds out of it, brings it over land, and produces rain, okay? To nourish the vegetation and the fruit to grow and give us our drink. Okay? Because our bodies are, what, 97% liquid, 97% water. Then, first question I have, when I'm thinking logically again, but trying to, why in the hell am I paying for water? You know what I mean? Why am I paying for water? Why am I paying for something my Father, God, created with me, for me, to live? Why am I now paying for it? Okay? Why am I paying for vegetation that I need to eat, that my Father provided? The person or people I'm paying for my vegetation, they didn't produce no seeds, no water, no earth to produce this fruit. My Father did. Why am I paying for it? Taking the power away from money. Because now in this system, we need his money to get things, to buy things that our Father, God, if the story is true and believe it, has already provided for us. brother, I'm in the process of reading a thing called The Transition from Bartering to Currency and the Creation of Money. Okay? And the article starts off and says, money in some way, shape, or form has been a part of human history for at least the last 3,000 years. Before that time, historians generally agree that a system of bartering was likely used. Bartering is a direct trade of goods and services. For example, a farmer may exchange a bushel of wheat for a pair of shoes from a shoemaker, you know? Then they're going to say, however, these arrangements take time. So if you are exchanging an axe as a part of an agreement in which the other party is supposed to kill a woolly mammoth, who you have to find someone who thinks that an axe is a fair trade for having to face down a 12-foot tusk of a mammoth. Say, if this doesn't work, what are you going to do? So you got to find somebody that shares, put the value on it, in other words, that me doing this task for you with the axe to kill this 12-foot mammoth is worth me taking my life on the line, and that takes time. Well, it takes time for us to get money. We got to go work. We got to go earn it. So how much value we putting on our work and our efforts for this little small piece of paper, as the OJ said, that carries a lot of weight. You know, what value we put in, we're so enamored with it that we got to have it to exist every day. It's a piece of paper with a picture of a white man on it that we not only value, but we die for. We sell each other out for. Like OJ said again, a woman will sell her precious body for that small piece of paper that carries a lot of weight, that mean green. We've got to take the value from it and put the power from it and put the value back on us. And again, why do I have to pay for water? Because the system has captured not only us and destroyed our minds. That's why we believe in it now. Now they got everything under control when they took over bartering and introduced this currency or medium of exchange that we have to work for them to get, to be able to go back and buy stuff that we need to live from them. Power of the money, which translation means the power of the white man, that we done put all of it in his hands. And he keeps us under control, keeps us tied down chasing that dollar. I'm telling you, we chase that. Why you think we have drive-by shootings in our neighborhood? The dollar. I sold that nigga some dope, he owed me some money. Or this nigga gonna kill me because I ain't paid him for the dope. Or I got to go because she's supposed to be bringing my money to me. You know, the whole work for me. The bitch work for me. It's all my gal. My money. The power of the dollar, the power of the money. And it only has that power because we give it to it. We give it to it. The root of all evil is the love of money. Ain't that what they say? The love of money is the root of all evil. We must, in addition to coming together as a people, take the power away from money. And when we come together as a people, go right back to that first characteristic of the one. We have to be honest with ourselves.
I like that.
And admit the situation that we're in. And face it, stare down. And we've got to do those things. We just can't, like I said, we just can't go run and teach our children. We've got to get ourselves together first.
Got that right.
And a short thing to say, if you can't prove it, don't teach it to your children. You know, if you can't prove it and logically say it's right, don't teach it to your children. Whatever it is.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to try to wrap it back. Wrap it back. Thank you. It's true. Brother's absolutely right. Don't teach your kids. Here's the thing. It's called critical thinking. We got to get to where we're critically thinking about things, but I think we have to address some other things first. I think there's levels to this thing. Well, I know it is. There's levels to it, right? The first thing is that we got to know who we are. You got to know who you are. You got to know yourself. You lost yourself. You lost your identity. You lost who you were. And some people don't want to hear that, but it's true. We've lost ourselves, and we're now living in a reality that is juxtaposed to who we are. In other words, it don't agree with who you are and who you've been. That's genetically. We have to find ourselves. There's something that we got to understand about this nightmare. Understand your history. You don't know who you are.
This majestic ruler who reigned for over 60 years. A legendary master builder and historical revealer. Cunning and strong. Corrector of both right and wrong. As he walked the streets of Kemet, the African people would cheer. And he stood one day at the Giza Plateau, marveling at Khufu, Khafra, and Mikra. He recalled the pyramids that we'd built, 48 stories high, 755 feet wide, 2,003,000 stones, some stones weighing over 3,000 tons in the inner casing. This great warrior king marveled at the system of mathematics that he knew his people had created. And with a great ambience, he stood at the base. And he walked back down the corridor that he would lay the rest tonight. His queen joined him. But in the middle of the night, he woke up in a cold sweat from a nightmare. His queen looked at him, but she'd never seen him this way before, so she never said a word. He laid down again. And in the middle of the night, he awoke screaming at the top of his lungs. His queen still didn't trouble him. But the next morning as Ra rose, as he gazed into the sun, she said, "My king, last night you were troubled. What was it that bothered you?" And he slowly and methodically looked up into her eyes and he said, "Last night I had a dream and I saw things that I'd never seen. I saw black men killing one another. I saw black children disrespecting their mothers. I saw black armies going down in defeat. I saw black babies saying things even I wouldn't repeat. I saw the pyramid builders, once so wealthy and once so wise, now smoking crack and committing suicide. I saw an African queen being called a bitch. I saw an African king wallowing in a ditch. I saw black people who once loved one another become separated because of class, status, and color. I saw ministers of God lying to people who believe just to obtain a dollar is what they hope to achieve. But then things got so bad and it made me so sad until I screamed to God like I never had. And I cried, send them a message and make it loud and clear. Don't give up now because freedom is too near. You've been too black, too bold, too whole, too cold, too strong, too long to allow this nonsense to continue on. You gave sight to the blind when others could not see. You gave refuge to those who were lost and allowed them to be. You built pyramids when others lived in caves. You gave the world a year with 365 and a fourth day. You gave hope to the shameless and name to the nameless. But what will you do now that you're not so famous? Stop sacrificing your dreams for the illusion of security. Stop acting like a child and obtain your maturity. Stop looking to others for what you can do for yourself. Dust off your ambition and take it off the shelf. Start living your life and stop waiting on death. Stop waiting on time, for there is no time left. For our God only helps those who will help themselves. Peace out.
You gotta help yourself. First step is you gotta know who you are. We have to know who we are. We have to get to a level of maturity. Because the truth is, we're watching our children raise, the ones who are here, raise children without the tools that they need to be good parents. And if they're not doing it, then their parents are. Grandparents are now the primary caregivers in some households. We have to do something about that. We have to know who we are. Know thyself, right? You have it in you, in your DNA. It's there. All you have to do is work on becoming the best person that you could be. It's as simple as that. And there's some tools that we can use. Like the brother said, you got to know who you are in relationship to the person that you're going to connect with, that you're going to bring the next generation through. How do we reconcile within ourselves first? The damage that's been done to us. The mental damage about how we function. And we talked about living in this culture. This culture has contaminated who we were in the beginning. We've adapted and adjusted, and we're still here. But how do we make a significant difference in the lives of our children? I'm going to bring 9282 back for one last round, but I want to ask the question. I want him to go through those characteristics of the one before we get out of here. 9282. You there, sir?
Yes, sir, brother.
Yeah. Can you give us the characteristics of the one, please?
Yes, sir. Number one, the one is honest with himself. Two, the one loves himself. Three, the one loves his people. Four, the one believes in himself. Five, the one believes in his people even if they don't believe in themselves. The one, six, the one always stands for what he knows is right, even if he has to stand alone. Seven, the one loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Eight, the one is a great communicator, and he knows how to listen. Nine, the one is not afraid to die for what is right. And ten, the one would rather serve in heaven than to rule in hell. Be the one.
Yeah. I like that.
Easier said than done, but be the one. That should be what we're striving for as individuals. And if we all strive for that, and we all strive to become the one, if you become the one, you will find me. And we will find each other in the one, and we will be one. You know, that's
yeah.
The Jesus message. Be the one with the Father. Be the one. Be the one with yourself. It's in you. God is in you. Jesus
I
said,
like
you can do the things you see me doing, greater things, if you submit your will to the will of your Father. Submit your will to yourself, to the will of you that's in you. Just bring it out. Let it shine, as they said. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Be the one. You know? Even if you have to do it alone, even if you have to stand alone, be the one. Be that light to show the world. This is the one. This is how the one looks and how the one lives, how the one acts, et cetera, et cetera. I'm the one.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
I appreciate you. Peace.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you.
The brother said it all. He did. He's having us to look at the qualities of being the one. He took it on all different levels and brought it back to you. I'm encouraging you again to know yourself. Make a commitment to yourself. Dedicate yourself to developing your children. And if they're not children of yours, then somebody else's child. You have to be able to get to a place where you understand exactly who you are. So I'm going to finish up this show with the qualities, right? I'm doing 13 qualities today that will put us in position of reconciliation with ourselves. The first thing is reconciliation with yourself. Reconciliation with yourself. And I started off with being resilient, having drive, being reliable, but self-reliable, and then having patience and having courage. Here's the next one. It's commitment. You got to commit to a cause and a purpose that's your own. You're going to have to, again, critically think about what you're going to engage in. And again, with the peace concept, it's five levels. You can commit to making a change on any of those levels, politically, economically, athletics, with your own health, wellness, and fitness, right? You could do that with culture, understanding better about your culture. That's where the Willie Lynch segment comes in there with Brother George. And you can commit to changing by educating yourself, reading the book, learning more about your culture, your history before enslavement. That does so much to developing your personal willpower and your personal power and your respect for yourself. Again, the tools for building community or rebuilding is self-love. There's no greater love than love for self and kind, self-respect. And that's what we need out in these streets, right? And you can say for certain that in these cities, in this country, there are some of the worst things that happen in the world, in these cities. We have to do a better job of insulating and isolating our children so that they will be prepared for the next season in our lives. Next is passion. You got to have a passion for something. You got to have a passion, like for me, it's for my people. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not shy to say that I'm acknowledging the need for African-American empowerment. And then you need connection and connectivity. And after that connection and connectivity has happened, you need integrity. You got to be honest with other people and yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. A lot of us are not optimistic about our future. You got to have some optimism that things are going to work out when you get it together. Not when everybody else get it together, when you get it together. It's your obligation and your duty to get it together. Next is self-confidence. You need that confidence. You need that self-confidence in yourself. And most importantly, you have to learn how to communicate. And you have to communicate well. If we begin to communicate well, things are going to happen and things are going to change in our favor. So here's the summary, right, today. Can we know for certain who we are? Can we learn to work for that? And can we reevaluate how we think, what we think about, what we seem to put our interest in? Are those things given to us to drive the economy, the things that you like doing, or the things that you enjoy doing, are they making other people rich? We had the Kwanzaa and Willie Lynch moment where, again, we're having to develop that faith in ourselves. Can we do it? Then can we be resilient and use the tools? And the brother gave us the tools of being the one. Can you share this show with somebody else? Can you go back and just listen to it, take some notes and jot down some things that's going to help you in the future? And then from there, can you utilize these tools of self-love and self-respect, understanding the system that you live in so it doesn't impact you, that you can navigate it well, that we can prepare our young people for the next season, or the season that they're in right now, because they have to compete for jobs and opportunity? Can you make family important? Family and community, and that we have peace and peaceful relationships in our families and our communities. Can you be the one? Can you develop yourself? Can you develop your power and your strength through courage to create a new future, a new reality, free from hate and hurt, but full of love, full of courage, full of the strength that's in you to become the best person that you can be? Can you be resilient? Can you become more resilient? Can you pass that on to your children to give them the drive that they need to be successful in the classrooms that they're going back to? Can they want to learn? Can they want to read? Can they want to grow? Can you teach them to be self-responsible and reliable? Can you teach them to be patient? Are you patient with them? And can you have the courage to be patient with the people around you, that understanding that they see the world different from you? Can you exude that courage that we need to get to the next level, and challenging yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Will you make a personal commitment today to change for the better, using your willpower and your passion to create that connectivity that you need with each other? Because we need it so bad. We do. And then can you offer integrity? Can you be a man or woman of your word? That whatever you say, that your word is your bond. And can you walk around with some optimism and some good thoughts inside of you? that you will have the confidence that you need to communicate love for yourself today and every day. I'm Marvin Rohn. This has been Empowerment Saturday. Join us next week. I'll talk to you then. Peace. Man, what a show. I love it. I love it.